You and I, looking at our own heart, looking at our own mind, we understand something. And we definitely look to the hurt and the pain of self, who we are. Have you ever felt like you were just hollow? Have you ever felt like you were walking around in a daze and you saw yourself in nothing but a dream? The things that were truly going on around you, you were hoping was just a nightmare. But as you would start looking at your life and looking at the lives of those around you, we found out that this deals with the hurt and the pain of life itself. You and I are born into the world, God's Word says, to spend a time of nothing but hardship and pain. Well, we're seeing it. Whatever God says is going to happen, has always happened, and it always will. But He says, I see you, and here's what I want to do with you and for you. Now, I have a diet just made for you. You might as well lay down all the other diet books, quit pulling them in off the internet, and then fussing after a couple of months, well, that didn't work, although I never really stuck to it. It seems, though, that that is what's going on with the Christian faith today. When you and I profess to be a Christian, then that does not mean that you're going to project yourself as perfect. What that means is that you're going to let the truth come out from within you, just the opposite, that you are not perfect. We are flawed human beings serving a flawless God. And God says, I want you to be honest with me. Difficult to be directly honest with those we love so dear. Simply because if we were to do that, that simply means that we're going to get criticism. God does not criticize. God sanctifies. God says, I will look at you and I created you for a purpose. Now you're going to go through what you will call hell on earth, but I'm going to be walking with you. There will not be a place that you will go that I will not be. I will love you when you're right, and I'll love you when you're wrong. Those who claim to be perfect will never say that. Oh, that's not right. You have to get to the point where you commit no sin. If you are to say that, God says you're a liar and the truth is not in you. Sin is rampant. Nobody has to convince us of it. We see it in our own heart. We know it. And God says, I have the diet for you, and here's what I want you to do. I want you to live on this diet. Set my soul afire, Lord, for the Jesus diet. The Jesus diet. Does that cheapen the Word of God? No. Because that's what the diet is. Jesus and His disciples had been out witnessing, and Jesus healing the lame, doing all sorts of miracles. And the Scripture tells us that, well, they were all tired and weary. So they go to this place where Jacob's well is. I'll teach that at another point. Where Jacob's well is. And they said, Jesus, you stay here and rest. We know you're worn out. We'll go locally and get us something to eat, and we'll be right back. Well, as the disciples left to go get something to eat, because they knew Jesus, 100% human, 100% God, and the 100% human part was tired and weak. And the Scripture says He was hungry. Well, this woman comes from Samaria, a Samaritan. A Samaritan was an individual that the Jews had absolutely nothing to do with. For them, they would say that they're despicable individuals. She comes to the well and a conversation ensues. And Jesus is talking to her about the Messiah to come. What do you think? And Jesus says, look, salvation is of the Jews. And we know that. Salvation is of the Jews, God's chosen people. Jesus was a Jew. Salvation is of the Jews. And she said this, yea, Lord, I know that the Christ, the Messiah, is coming. Well, that was something, wasn't it? I know that when he comes, that we will see him as he is, and salvation will be offered. Then Jesus looks at her and says, I am he. I am he. I am the Messiah. You go home and I want you to tell your husband what you have heard from me. Oh, Lord, I don't have a husband. Yes, you have said that truthfully. You have five, and the one you're with now is not your husband. And you can imagine the fright that was in her. But let me tell you something about Jesus' diet. As soon as she said, I know the Messiah is coming, and he says to her, I am he. And he tells her, I know all about your life. I know everything about you. Now you go to town and you tell the other Samaritans about me. You know what that's called? Witnessing. I mean, she got a good drink of water. Because she looked at me and he said, draw me some water. Well, why would I draw you water? Or you would take it from a Samaritan. You Jews don't like us. Then he said something else there also. If you knew who was asking you for the water, you would draw it for him. And she did. That was proof that as she turned to go share, salvation of God had come within her heart. She went to tell folks about the diet she had just learned about. How many of you all do that by email or by text or by all the other stuff that's going on out there now? And you say, well, this is a great diet. You don't know what a diet is until you've been on the Jesus diet. You don't know what it's like to try to deal with the hurt and the brokenness within your own family, within your own life, until you get on the Jesus diet. And when you get on the Jesus diet, I guarantee you, all hell is going to come after you. You're going to make hell so angry, they're going to be chasing you. All the evil, but don't need to run too fast because you're protected on the Jesus diet. When Jesus says, stop, turn, look at me, stop, turn, look at him, don't you dare break the Jesus diet. Well, what is this diet? Disciples come back. You know what they were, first thing to come to their mind? And these are the 12. These are his disciples. Wonder why he's talking to that woman. Because that doesn't happen then. A man would not just talk to a woman, especially a Samaritan woman. A Jew would not do that. But the scripture says not a one of them dared to ask him that question. That's smart. Because Jesus had just picked the ones less apt to accept him to take a message to the community. Do you know that all the community then came back because of what that woman had told them? They wanted to hear about this Jesus diet. But when the disciples come back, they said, we brought food, Lord. The Jesus diet is unknown to the world. Sadly, I'm afraid that a lot of Christians don't pay any attention to it either. John 4, verses 32 through 38. That will be the whole message here. But he said to them, to the disciples, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Well, what happened with them? Then his disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? The ones who walked with him in his ministry had a horrible time ever catching on to the Jesus diet. Jesus had said from the beginning that he was sent by his Father, and he was saying nothing that his Father didn't tell him to say. Now listen to this. The Jesus diet, Jesus says, is to do the will of God and to finish his work. Whose work? God's work for you as an individual. You don't have a right to quit working for God. I do not have a right to quit working for God. I'm on a diet. And Jesus says, this diet that I'm going to give you is to do the work of my Father and to finish it. Finish what God has called you to do. And folks, I guarantee you, I will never break, I will never surrender until the job God has called me to do is finished and he's the one that let me know. You and I have an obligation. We have an obligation to the ones we love. Our family, those outside of our blood family. We happen to be a part of the family of God. Why would we be on any other diet other than God's diet? Do the will of God and to finish his work. Starting in verse 34. My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. That's his food. But here's something very interesting on this, from the background of it. Jesus was weary, and he was extremely hungry. Yet, when he met with the Samaritan woman at the well, his disciples come in, the diet that Jesus was on had filled him physically. How'd that work? I don't know. You know, God's food is always the perfect food. And that's the importance that Jesus was saying. Why am I going to worry about where my next meal's coming from? I don't care how much money you have or how little money you have. Look at the world around us. Everything you have could be taken away in a split second. You're saying, well, this is what I'm going to do tomorrow. Well, don't be saying it because you have no idea that you'll even be alive tomorrow. You have no idea what tomorrow will bring. So what must I do as an individual? I must stick to the Jesus diet. It's the only hope of the greatest nation that's ever been known. The freedom once again for the preachers to proclaim, thus saith the Lord thy God, without fear of a government intervening, and we being classified as hate speakers because we say Jesus is the only name by which we can be saved. That's so hateful. Talk to God about it. You and I have the written out diet. It's called the Holy Bible. Great read. Bloody. There's no books ever been printed that's bloodier than the Holy Scriptures. You know why it is? Because it deals with the truth. You find out the truth about King David. If anything was ever fake about the Bible, do you really believe that you'd see the truth about all the disciples? and read about the truth of all of the prophets before, God says, I will tell you the truth and give you the truth. Now, if God then says, preacher, you set the truth right out here for them. You know, there's one statement that drives me completely crazy. And it didn't come from Randy. It drives me completely up the wall. And that is when people make a statement, I just don't feel like I'm being fed. Well, how about bringing a plate with you and making sure that you didn't bring a saucer? Bring a plate. I am a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am to feed God's word to people. My calling is to do the work of God, and my calling is to finish it. Can't change that diet. My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? Listen to what Jesus says. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Okay, something I wanted you to see in this. Here it is, I think. Yep, it'll be coming up. The reaper is the faith-sharing Christian. That's also in your bulletins. The ripe crop happens to be the non-believers. The harvest is the repentant non-believer. So when someone says yes to Jesus, the reward is eternal life. Now, this is Jesus' diet. And he said, I will go and I will say nothing that my Father has not told me to say. Next year, God willing, that I'm still alive and I'm still preaching here, you will hear about the words in red. And let me tell you what you're going to learn from that. Did you know that Jesus never said anything that you won't find in the Old Testament? Do you realize that the letters in red always represented God's word, the words of Jesus? Even on the cross, you'll see the Psalms quoted by Jesus. The book called the Holy Bible contains the red words, the red letters of Jesus. Did you know that the sermon has never changed? When you are on the Jesus diet, I preach the same thing every Sunday. I just do it in a different way. But does it not always come back to the cross? Do I not always tell you it's by the blood of Christ, it's through him that we are saved, not of our own works, lest we would boast? It is a gift of God. And God is letting us know, I see your heart. I know your need. Therefore, you're spiritually unhealthy. And I'm going to put you on a diet that'll make a difference in this life and in the life to come. A diet that'll live throughout eternity. Atkins diet ain't going to make it. All of these fruity diets, be thankful, they ain't going to make it either. The only diet that'll ever do you good is the Jesus diet. Simple. Do the will of God and finish what he's called us to do. Verses 36 through 38. Even now, Jesus says, the reaper draws his wages. Now, I want you to hear this. The reaper draws his wages. Do you know what the wages of preaching the gospel and leading to the word of to a person's heart through salvation? The wage is you get to see one more for Jesus. One more soul that'll be with you in eternity. And while I'm at that, let me tell you this. For those of us who are broken physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, Did you know that that's, let me tell you, in case you don't want to admit it, every one of us are that way. Did you ever look at yourself and think, man, I am a mess? Well, if you'll get in prayer over that, God will let you know, yeah, you are, Larry, but you're my mess. And I'll take care of my messes. You and I, the older we get, the more we learn about the human nature. And the more we detest it. We get lonesome. Right in the middle of crowds. Why? Have you lost your mind? Well, according to psychologists, every Christian has. We're sort of psycho. Because we truly believe that we get to speak to a deity, according to the definition. And not only that, do you know that the Christians claim that this deity they call God speaks back to them? That's why all the Christians are nuts. I got news for you. Yes, if that's what you call crazy, lock me up and let me die in peace. Because I know the diet for eternity. And that diet is in the book of life. And in the book of life is my name. It's been written now. It's there now. Jesus knows my name. And for everyone who has said yes to Jesus, he knows your name. And listen well to me, Christian and non-believer. The Christian is the only human being spiritually that lives with a new body, a glorified body, just like Jesus has. Well, I thought all those other people, the lost, are going to be alive. They are. But according to Scripture, they're going to be alive in their earthly body, never able to die. They'll call for the rocks and the mountains to cover them, but they will not be covered. Eternity, forever dying, but never able to die. In a human condition that truly feels the pains. I like my new body. No tears, no hurt, no pain. We'll just love each other. I really think that it'll be total love. Right now we love each other, but sometimes we don't like each other. God says, my love supersedes all love. Even now the reaper draws his wages. Even now he harvests the crop for eternal life. You catching it? So that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Now listen to this. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true. This is Jesus speaking. Listen to the last one, verse 38. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. He's talking to us, folks. He's talking to the church age. What you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work. He's talking about the prophets of old who spoke of the day when the Messiah would come and speak directly to the heart of the human race and offer everyone salvation. And the prophets who were slain for telling the truth, and yet they never got to see the day. You and I are living in the day. It started 2,000 years ago when Jesus ushered in the beginning of the end of the age. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. Okay. Do any of you remember that for the 22 years I have been here, I've always said, never backed away from it, the age of the church is the greatest age in this world you will ever know. Because this is the age that Jesus spoke of leading up to the end of the age. The end of the age is the end of the church age. Then Jesus says, all things will be made new. What does that mean? That means all things will be made new, because I haven't the slightest idea. Neither does anyone else. But one thing I do know, I have a calling to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, to do His work, and to finish it. And God says, as you finish, I'll be there just like I was when it started. Folks, I look forward to the day of each of us meeting at the supper table in heaven. But I know the time right now, I must and you must focus on the diet, the only diet that'll ever truly make a difference in your life. Do the work God has called you to do and finish it. There's not a warrior in any branch of service that is within the sound of my voice or in this congregation that doesn't realize something. And that is, it took each one of us together as veterans to make a difference, to protect a land given to us by God. We have a brotherhood and a sisterhood that cannot be broken. Oh, what I would give to see the church get back to that, where a Christian will never speak harshly of another Christian, where the brotherhood and the sisterhood is so strong that nobody else would say anything either without getting a mini sermon from somebody. God says, I love you. And it doesn't get any better than that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the diet that only you can give us. Praise your name, dear Lord God, for such love that you share with us. What a diet, Father. The teachings that you give us have been preserved in the heart of your children. The books of the Holy Scriptures have been given, and Father, you say, you're the one who say that every word is from you. Everything is from you. We ask now, Father, for the blessing upon a nation who has turned her back on you. Forgive us, Father, for not standing stronger. Forgive us, Father, for taking the shortcut on so many, many trips of life. We ask now, Father, revive us again, set our soul on fire, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.